The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Greetings everybody and welcome to today's episode of Climate Matters. I'm Lindsay Wood from climate strategy company Resilience Limited, and Climate Matters is brought to you by Fresh FM, the top of the South's community access radio station. Well, today we're going into Climate Matters number 141. We are still in serious catch-up mode due to the interviews and the methane special we did last week and so on. And it's not going to get any easier because we've got more great interviews coming up. In fact, first thing tomorrow morning, I'm recording this on the 6th of November. First thing tomorrow morning, I'm doing a long interview with someone in Brazil for COP, so that will be exciting to bring to you. Anyway, you'll also find other reasons why this is out of date, because the original Climate Matters was actually put out back in early October. So my apologies, a bit of it's gone off topic, not off topic, but it's less topical. However, let's see how we get on. So here are the things we're going to cover. We're going to cover the downstream consequences of Tasman's devastating storms, and they are the forestry consequences and the way they flow into other things. Another nail in the coffin of the ETS, and I have to say, this was recorded before yesterday's government announcement on the further backtracking from the emissions trading scheme. So this is out of date, but it's still more, well, it's actually more international, but it's also more in the same direction. Another topic, the great Nelson Tasman Climate Forum Climate Action Festival. And I'm in Climate Matters 141, I said, is almost here. Well, it's actually been and gone. And it was very good. I'll talk a little bit about it. From the Can You Believe It files, shark dentistry. Anyone? A real career opening there. And not what you expect. Infrastructure litmus test. That's an interesting thing from Strong Towns. We'll give you a hotter tip for a cooler planet. And then a Stats NZ and the inequity of no additional warming methane policy. Now, having said that, that'll seem also out of sync, because last week's Climate Matters that you will have heard was a methane special, because after I wrote this piece in early October, just a few days later, the government released its methane policy. Anyway, let's get into it. So under the heading, the sort of circularity we don't want, just get your head around the sequence if you can. Carbon dioxide from fossil fuels causes global heating. Global heating causes more severe storms. More severe storms. Wind throw carbon sequestering trees in Tasman's two massive July storms. 50,000 urgent extra truck trips are needed to rush the trees to Port Nelson. We'll explain why. Those trucks will emit about 6,750 tons of carbon dioxide. I'll also give more on that. Plus, many trees get used for short-life products like pallets, cardboard, etc. The diesel and short-life wood products rapidly return fossil and sequestered carbon to the air. Press repeat. Got that? So that's the cycle. CO2 causes global heating. Global heating causes more severe storms. More severe storms, wind throw, more carbon sequestering trees. That causes a lot of extra truck trips if they are to get those trees to market. They cause more emissions. The emissions cause more storms, and we get more wind throw trees. As a back of an envelope calculation I did, 50,000 trucks, this is how I got to the emissions. Say it's a 100-kilometer round trip and the truck drives at about 2 kilometers per litre. Those are realistic figures. 2.5 million litres of diesel at 2.7 kilograms per CO2e per litre gives you the 6,750 tons without counting the logs. That is the carbon going in the logs and possibly returning to the atmosphere quickly. Now, just to put it in context, Nelson is seriously challenged with its, or is saying it's seriously challenged with its 8.3% per year decarbonization target. The emissions from those trucks make that 33% harder. They amount to a third of the emissions we're trying to save. Right, next item, talking about rethink, time to rethink offsets and the ETS. And bear in mind, this is an article that was written before the 5th of November government announcement on the ETS. The Guardian reports, and we'll give a link to that in the show notes, but scientists confirming what we basically knew, that the current carbon offset system simply doesn't work. Quoting from Stephen Leszak from the University of Oxford, "We must stop expecting carbon offsetting to work at scale," he said. "We have assessed, listen to this, 25 years of evidence, and almost everything up until this point has failed." In an accompanying video, "How Countries Cheat Their Net Zero Targets," just 5 minutes, Finland is taken as an example. While they have actually cut their emissions over 40%, their net emissions, that is after removing forestry, have flatlined instead of dropping. Why is that? Because their ongoing deforestation, plus the drastic climate impacts on the remaining forests, have cancelled out 3 decades of their actual emissions reductions. So if you think of what I just reported about the Tasman storms and wind-thrown timber there, you can easily see why carbon stored in forests is actually being lost and counteracting the savings. In fact, I talked about that, didn't I, in terms of the contrast with Nelson's decarbonization target. Okay, check this out. Another great Nelson Tasman Climate Forum Climate Action Festival. Well, it actually ran from the 16th to the 25th of October. And it was they had, I think, 41 events. A lot of them were sold out. They were all well patronized. There was a terrific response from people. It was under the theme of the world we want. And just to give you a feel, they had a great variety. They had online events. In fact, I was presenting one of them. They had the New Zealand premiere of an award-winning movie. They had practical things from washing composting buckets through to wetland restoration and so on. A very good event. I look forward to next year's. Rolling on, I would like to give you a link, by the way, to that, but I've just been on their webpage and the program has been taken down, so I'm sorry. There will be links to items that were, for example, online, but I don't know when they'll be put up there. I was asking about that yesterday. Right, from the Can You Believe It files, a new career filling shark's teeth. Well, not quite, which won't surprise you at all. But a study recently out from Dusseldorf's Heinrich Heine University, reported in a magazine called Frontiers in Marine Science, and it points to the fact that ocean acidification compromises sharks' teeth. I'm quoting here, "They are highly developed weapons built for cutting flesh, not resisting ocean acid," said the lead author, Maximilian Baum. The findings, and this is how they did it, was they found discarded teeth from an aquarium with those sharks in it. And they're not definitive, but they do show how vulnerable even nature's sharpest weapons can be. That's a quote. They show just how vulnerable even nature's sharpest weapons can be. So there you go. Even sharks are compromised by ocean acidification, or potentially compromised. Right, here's an interesting one. Strongtown's infrastructure litmus test. Try saying that 6 times quickly. I've often referenced Strongtown's. I really rate them, but they're not a climate organization per se, but they talk refreshing, well-founded, and really open-minded sense about our built environment. The president of Strong Towns is a seasoned civil engineer and planner, Charles Marone. In fact, he was in New Zealand recently. I wished I'd known that because I would have gone to hear him talk. And they recently, that Strong Towns, posted their infrastructure litmus test, and every politician everywhere should read it. And I'm going to encourage you to read it, and I'm going to encourage you then to write to your newly elected councillors and mayors. Here's the core of the test, and I'm quoting. This is Charles Marone speaking. I listen for how they talk about infrastructure. If they describe it as a top-down program, a confidence game where smarter elites can finally make the system work, that repeats the mistakes of the past. If, on the other hand, they describe infrastructure as something that must be humble, incremental, and rooted in place, then I hear the beginnings of a shared vision. Not top-down, build it up from the locals in the area where it's happening. Very, very important. So I've just given away the hotter tip for a cooler planet. Read the Strong Towns article and then write to your newly elected councillors and mayors about it and urge them to read it. The thing being that a lot of what Strong Towns says is very well founded, but is contrary to a lot of conventional wisdom on infrastructure, conventional wisdom as in outdated practice. Right, finally, here we go on to Stats New Zealand showing the inequity of, quotes, no additional warming, close quotes, methane policy. If you listened to Climate Matters last week, or maybe the week before, I'm not quite sure what week this is being broadcast, because it depends whether I get the first Brazilian interview ready for you next week. Anyway, either last week or 2 weeks ago, we put out the Climate Matters special on methane, really taking the government to task. Bear in mind, this little bit I'm saying preceded that, but it still just builds the same picture. Okay, the headline again. Stats New Zealand shows the inequity of no additional warming methane policy. It starts with a graph which shows lines more or less flatlining, and they start in, I'm just trying to read the graph, March 1992, and they finish in September 2023. And they all flatline except for carbon dioxide. So what I mean by flatlining is that the graph shows constant volumes, and I say constant, not precision constant, but very even volumes of carbon dioxide, except it did a dip and up again in COVID. Methane, which went flatline and hardly a flicker during COVID. And nitrous oxide, also flatline and not a flicker through COVID. And so the point about that is that the graph shows what I've said is the huge inequity of government's cosseted no additional warming policy for methane. If you look at the one of the gaps that dipped in COVID was carbon dioxide, mainly from vehicles, but also a bit from manufacturing. Now, the point about that is that no additional warming is the same as the flatlining of the methane policy, of the methane line on the graph. If you remember what it was like when COVID lockdown was on, you know, the highways were deserted, there was nobody in the airport terminals and so on. We all knew how impactful that was. That the general scale of decarbonisation in COVID was of the order of what we need to do to try and keep global warming down to livable levels. Now, if you remember how hard it was during COVID, then that points to the fact that our biggest source of emissions, agricultural methane, just cruised on through. So if they don't cut the methane emissions to reach our necessary targets, then everybody else has to work really much harder. That is not equitable. This is not anti-farmer. I have great sympathy for farmers. I think they've been very badly served by their political wings, by their organizations who keep pushing barrows that game the system instead of giving them a realistic picture. And given the dominance of carbon dioxide and methane, letting dairy's methane off the hook near enough doubles the rate at which everyone else must decarbonize to meet our Paris commitment. The government really knows this, as I explained in my methane special the other week. And that's why they prevented the methane review panel from even commenting on this issue of soft methane targets making it harder for everybody else. Not a pretty picture. It's a tragic picture from a government and an industry that should be a lot more responsible than it is. So if you want another thing to write to your council about, write on that. Although, to be truthful, that's a letter that, or an email that should go to central government. Okay, well, look, we've reached the end of Climate Matters 141. Thank you so much for your company. I do hope I enjoy it again next week. Climate Matters is brought to you by Fresh FM, the top of the South's community access radio station. Fresh FM broadcasts in Blenheim on 88.9, Eastern Golden Bay on 95.0, to the Nelson CBD on 107.2, and across the Nelson-Tasman region on 104.8. It's also streamed to the planet on freshfm.co.nz, and podcasts of Climate Matters and other locally produced shows are available through freshfm.co.nz. And, of course, kia kaha for the climate.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM, with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.